Blog Talk Radio.
I'll take the metro to the beach, got a family there to meet, and get some sunshine. I'll spread my life out on the sand, dream away the week's demands, and just unwind. Do you see how the waves take your problems away to another place? Makes your feet want to run in this golden sun, puts a smile on my face. Touch of salt and sand on my skin. Wash me down with sunshine. Let's begin. To unzip, unwind, unpack, unwind. I'll pull myself up off the street, catch a bus until it meets the blue water. Pop an umbrella to shade the folks, pass around the lunch and joke with my daughter. When the days have been so hard, the simple things really are what gives you calm and peace. When you're finally sitting down, nod and smile at everyone, do what takes the lead.
Have some fun.
Boy, that song made it just a little bit warmer here in cold Chicago from our guest, Marilyn Scott, Unzip, Unwind, a song about hope and renewal. She will be joining us here shortly. Welcome in, friends, to the Jazz Mill. I am your host, Scott Henderson, and for the next 60 minutes or so, we are going to do our level best to entertain you with some of the best jazz artists on the planet. As always, we invite your calls at 515-602-9600. That is 515-602-9600. Or you can play in our chat room if you would rather. Hey, here's a fun fact. Did you know that researchers at Oxford University recently found a correlation between high IQ and those who dig jazz, and that the more people that listen to jazz, the smarter they became, which is outstanding news for people like me. On top of that, the overwhelming majority of jazz lovers tend to recycle. They are kind to small animals, and they floss daily. Let's punch up our Jazz Mill co-host and segment producer, Greg Rockingham, who has been keeping the beat since he was just 5 years old. He is an alumnus of the prestigious Interlochen Arts Academy and Northeastern University. He's worked with the likes of Nancy Wilson, Freddie Cole, Kenny Burrell, Steely Dan, Glenn Miller, and many more. Presently, he plays with the Soul Message Band. They are the hottest 3-beat combo east of the Mississippi, in my humble opinion, and can be heard weekly at Chicago's historic Green Mill. Welcome in, G-Rock. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Trying to stay warm in this cold, cold city,
I hear you. Hunker down. Layers. It's single
That's
digits
true.
with the wind chill factor. So hoping Marilyn will warm us with the weather report here in a minute. Did I ever tell you the one about my veterinarian, Greg?
No, you haven't, but I want to hear it.
You might not want to. He moonlights as a taxidermist, of all things. He moonlights as, in his slogan, right on his business card, it says, "No matter what happens, you'll get your dog back," which I'm not sure I like that. But in any event, these are the jokes, folks. It doesn't get any better than that. so we're
I want your listeners to realize Scott said that joke.
I didn't write it. It's stolen from, it's about 100 years old, that joke. But we're going to be joined by a wonderful composer and vocalist here in just a second. Marilyn Scott is best known for her Grammy-nominated work as a contemporary jazz musician and a composer. She has worked with Etta James, Spira Gyra, Tower of Power, the Yellow Jackets, Bob James, George Duke, and Bobby Caldwell, just to name a few. She began thrilling audiences for going on 44-plus years now. Welcome in, Marilyn. So good to have you with us. I hope you are warm and well.
You know, it's a beautiful day where I am, and I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, the feeling is mutual. We've all survived Thanksgiving. Were you with family? You're in California somewhere, if I have it right. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I'm in California, and I live in Southern California, but I went up to Northern California because I have family up there, and it was much colder, and but it was beautiful. None to say, at least we enjoyed ourselves.
Now, do you have a favorite side dish? I got to know.
You know, I'm usually in, I pick up the pieces, and when people fall down on recipes, so I'm a kind of a jack of all trades, but I am known for my uncle's gravy.
Oh, gravy. Best word in the English language. What makes it, listen, when I was a kid, we had gravy with every meal. I don't know how my mother did it. We'd have salmon. We had gravy. We had fish. Everything.
Right.
We considered it a beverage. Honest to Pete, that's how much we love it. That might explain my little weight problem, but that's another topic.
Well, here's the problem. You know that now with everybody trying to be a go vegetarian, and we did have several of those people. it's on the tougher side. And I said, you can either have it or not have it, because I really, I can only make one. And I think I'm going to make it with the giblets and some of the meat, neck meat and stuff like that, which makes it really good. So
make it good, go big or go home. Right. If you're going to do it, I mean, if you're doing it every day, that's another matter, but
that's another matter.
Or twice a year. Yeah, I have always said Thanksgiving is my favorite meal because nobody seems to notice that I'm getting my fourth plate of food, you know. My wife is always after me. She came home yesterday. Greg, you'll get a kick out of this. With some of those rice cakes, you know, those round pressed puffed rice cakes. You ever see those?
Yes.
And she said, you're going to you've seen them. She said, you're going to be on these for a while because you went a little crazy at Thanksgiving. And I find that they're not that bad if you put enough frosting on them. She was unhappy with me, but we
could put peanut butter on them too, you know.
Peanut butter, yes. Maybe I'll try that when I run out of frosting. When I run out of frosting. I'm working backwards a little bit here, Marilyn, but we played to open Unzip, and what a song of renewal and hope and revival, and I just can't help but love that song. What was on your mind? What was on your mind when you put that together?
Well, you know, the whole project is about, you know, trying to find some peace, somewhere to go to get, you know, an answer about something you're thinking about. And it's always in nature. And even if you don't have what so many do, you know, they can go on vacation and that. There are a lot of us that can't. But if you just go in your backyard or you sit on your stoop in your front and you can enjoy nature and you can enjoy and get the answers that you need. And that was just another idea about, you know, going to the beach, take the metro, take the bus, get your family together, sit on the beach, you know, just get in the water a little bit if you can and just relax. And it's worth everything.
It really is. It's sad for the soul. I mean, the location, our surroundings can really have dictate our mood to a large extent. I'm convinced, and I bet you might agree, that music can be medicine, good music, that is. And I do my best to you know, surround myself with the good stuff because I'm truly lifted by it. I do this when I go into stores sometimes. If they're playing something that's really lame, I won't stay long. I mean, it pushes me right out the door. And conversely, if they're playing, doesn't that happen to you? If it's good, on the other hand, if it's good, I'll linger. I might even buy something I don't really need just because the music is good. So, you know, people that would, you know, choose as you have your profession, and people that love music like I do, I think they have a special connection with music, and it cuts both ways. I mean, good music can really lift us, and, you know, not so good music, yes, it can. And it, conversely, if it's not that good, you know, we tend to really fixate on it, and it can ruin a good mood. At least it can with me. Go ahead.
We explored, you know, and we still haven't yet, you know, put it into work. But Jimmy Haslip and I talked to Terry Lynn Carrington about forming something called the Jazz Effect, where music is good for people who are healing and or maybe in the hospital or don't have a way to get, you know, music to them, you know, because of their income or, you know, but mostly about that people who are like in the hospital and that need little music just to kind of put them in a different place because it's so it just brings you down so much that it's hard to, but music could really help you heal. And we're going to try and put something like that together.
Love that idea. There is no question that is the case. It works for me. I can personally attest, and it certainly would work for others, as you suggest.
That's right.
Tell us about your progression, if you would, Marilyn. I mean, are you from a musical family?
Yeah, my mother played classical piano, and she sang an operatic style. But she passed when I was really young, like 10. So, I didn't get that schooling in music that I wish I had. But as soon as I was able to, get into high school, really, started in junior high, ninth grade, I was in band. High school, senior high band, the high school band, and then I moved up north to Northern California, where there was a lot of people playing and a lot of music happening. So that was a great education. And then I moved back to Los Angeles and got more into recording because I learned recording up north. And, I've been surrounded by such a wealth of talent that became friends, became family. It's been, it doesn't take much for me to reach out and say, hey, you want to write this tune? I got this idea. And it's usually with someone that is just incredibly talented and on their own and that, that is well known. And that's how we all are as a family in Los Angeles. We've all grown up together. And for example, I met Russell Ferranti in San Jose, where he lived, and before he moved to L.A., and we started a relationship with writing, and he moved up to down to LA and started the Yellow Jackets. And so, it's been a lot of those kinds of stories.
Yeah, you're right in the middle of it, Marilyn, and you are surrounded by creativeness. And I was researching you a little bit and noticing that one of your first recordings was "God Only Knows," I think Brian Wilson's song. What about that song called to you, may I ask?
Well. I did another Beach Boys tune for Tim Weston's record for that he did on the Beach Boys, and it's funny that Yellow Jackets did "God Only Knows" and I did "In My Room," so that was funny.
But
I did that way back. "God Only Knows" with David Page arranged it.
Yeah,
and that was some of the guys that before they were Toto, Jeff Porcaro and Dan Ferguson.
Wow.
And Tower Horns, and it was a disco kind of vamped up, and in those days it was like for vocalists they said, you do a couple of hits and you'll be able to you'll do any kind of music you want. It was always a little carrot, like you if you want to be successful you have to do a pop song. So that's how that started, and no regrets. I had fun, and there were some great people that helped me make it happen. So, again, see, it was the beginning of some friendships that I had that we all came together, and, I loved it.
Yeah, clearly you do. There's a joy in your music. You can hear it in every recording, and I noticed some other things, too, which I want to get to here in a second. When you describe your musical stylings, how do you do that? What do you say about yourself?
Well, I think I've evolved, and I've always been attracted to jazz, to R&B music, to blues, which are also related. And because of where I started and the kind of bands that I was in at the beginning, those are bands that you sang all the hits, and you played four or five sets a night. So, I'm used to all that kind of music. So, I started out writing that way, and then I was wrote for chapel music for a while in a pop sense, but wasn't very successful, but that's because really I was headed in another direction, and with the things that I were writing were a little bit more complex, and pop was a very simple. And so that's why I wasn't very successful, you know, and I ended up pushing myself more into the jazz arena. And I've always thought that, growing up, that, you know, you have to sort of earn your stripes as a jazz vocalist. If you haven't studied like so many are studying now in the schools, I think that, you have to learn how to do those phrasings and those things that kind of are hallmarks in jazz singing. And I was lucky enough to be around a few people like that I could emulate and I could learn from. And I just paid attention to all those things. And I was around a lot of arrangers that, you know, were very strict about breathing and how to hold notes and new styling that was really interesting. But to make it a conversation more than a cut-up version of a standard, you know?
I do know.
I love that, and I've always tried to be that way.
Yeah, you helped me see that in your work, Marilyn. It's every word, counts. It matters, and you treat them all with equal respect. And I find that's the thing I like about my favorite vocalists. They all have an ability to do that, and that is not easy, I know. And there's a lot of methodology and a lot of passion that must go into that. I want to give our listeners an example. We have teed up here, Thrown Out into Space, Butterfly. I wonder if you can set that up for us. What is that song about?
Well, that's still working on the same theme in the landscape. Is about going in your front yard and just really trying to find an answer. Maybe you're, thinking about that things aren't going well. So how are you going to get out of it? What you're going to do? And you're feeling you're looking at an answer and trying to find it. And so it was sort of a calling to nature for help. And
yes,
and that was that's the idea, you know.
Yeah. One of my favorites from your latest album. Let's give that a spin.
Thank you.
I see you travel up and down my yard, and you look to see if I am watching. I have dreams of your colored avant-garde, and
wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Surrounded by some great players, Marilyn. You care to share a name or two with us? Some really good horn work there.
Steve Taviglione, who takes the solo, is just a brilliant saxophonist and plays with everybody on all the movies. And, he's an incredible player. And
gorgeous.
Scott Kinsey is a keyboard player from Tribal Tech. And he co-wrote it with me, yeah. And of course, that's Gary Novak playing drums.
Yep, yep. Greg will know that name. It's such a pretty song and so poignant, those lyrics. I'm impressed as I study your game, Marilyn, that you're, one that seems to have a sense of a social consciousness in your music, and often in your lyrics, you'll express a position, a specific position on one of our societal issues of the day. I'm thinking of Modern Man, a song that you did a while ago, I think.
Right.
But, you have plenty to say there. And I think with all of the tribalism that exists in the world today, I applaud you for getting out there and taking a stand. And because I know you know this better than me, you run the risk of alienating, but losing half of the possible purchasing audience when you do that. I think it's more important to get what I believe to be the truth. I bet we have a lot of common worldview, and I want to play that one here in a second. But I want to talk a little bit about some of your other musical influences. I know, Joe Beam, you do quite a number of bossa nova tunes on your various albums. Talk a little bit about what Tom Joe Beam meant to you.
Well, I became friends with Tori Kaimi, and his favorite influence in his career was Joe Beam. Not only that, he was a family friend and really family altogether. I mean, not related, but the families knew each other very well. And he always spoke highly of Joe Beam. And so we ended up writing a song about his legacy, after he passed. And I've always loved, there's so much kinds of Brazilian and Latin music that I love, and it's just incredible music. I wish I could even do more, but then again, I can only do so much, and then I just don't know how to always please everybody. So maybe I should just do a project that just was of those tunes. Those kinds of tunes, and that would be a good
You'd
tune
have a
too.
Customer.
But I just
You'd
have
a
my
customer.
Heart there, and I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
yeah,
it is.
Wrote the sun. We wrote The Sun, and The Sun is about Búzios in Brazil. And, when you go there, you actually see those things, from people dancing and music in water and just throwing out just all their care and just really just enjoying themselves in the moment. And I envy that. And I try to do that myself.
Yeah.
And it really came from seeing people who, just said, we're going to go to the beach. We're going to hang out. We're going to have fun. We're going to listen to music.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Listen to Jovan on huge speakers outside, and yeah. So it's good stuff.
Sounds good to me. When I was in courtship with my wife, I promised to one day bring her to Rio to see the sights and hear the music. And I have not been able to do that yet, but it's on my bucket list. I don't know if you've been or not, but it looks fabulous.
You have to go.
Yeah, I'm going to. It's a question of when. And we've got a little kitty started for it to get down there. But I'll ask you if you've seen There's a rooftop interview that Diana Krall and her bandmates, Jeff Hamilton and Anthony Wilson, and a rooftop. They're in a nice hotel, and they're on the top of this roof, and they're just sort of playing around with music, and they're joined by not Joe Beam, but I wish I had the fellow's name, but just delightful. Have you seen that? It is something you'll find readily on YouTube, or I could send it to you. But I think with your love of bossa nova
and
Joe Beam.
And she does it so well, and I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I'll do it after the show. But we share a love for Joe Beam for sure, and others that supported that genre.
So many.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you for your impressions. We lost a good one yesterday, Christine McVie. Did she have much of an influence in you early on?
I can't say that I listened to a lot of Fleetwood Mac, but I appreciated their music.
Yep.
I really did appreciate their music, but I can't say exactly, you know, that three or four songs I'm saddened over the loss of such a giant person in music at such a young age. That's my first impression, is that
too
soon for someone.
It is, and that was one of those albums. You're younger, I think, than me, but you had to have that album. Rumors was a gotta have your shelf, and I think they sold 40 million of them or something from what I've been hearing. But did a lot of important work, and I think she was a good steward too of not just quality pop music, but I think she had a pretty good world view too. I teased a second ago, Modern Man. I want to play that, but in this song I think tackle quite a number of issues, and I just found that really refreshing, something you don't hear often from artists, unfortunately. I mean, there's a handful that'll get out there on the limb. Bruce Springsteen is one I'm reminded of, who doesn't mind talking a little bit about his, you know, worldview, call it. And I just commend you for doing that in this instance. And I know there are other examples of that in your good works. But what would you add to what I just said?
Well, I do. I think that you run a risk sometimes, but I throw in, you know, a standard that I think that hasn't been overdone, and give it another veil, you know, to put on it, to see where it's going to go with certain players that don't usually play that kind of standard, you know.
Yes.
When I did Standard Blue, you know, and we did Willow Weep for Me and Speak Low and all that, you know, I think the players really took it to a different place, and I was trying to get more of the blues out of the tune than accentuate the jazz or what you can do to twist it. You know, I wanted to do more of this sadness that's in it. So, you know, when I do standard things, I try to do it on a purpose of what it says, what we're going through, you know, and what the human heart can take, you know, because that's the most important thing, is to talk about who we are and what we are and what we can take and what we can't take, and speak about it. I love that part of songwriting, and I love that part of taking a standard we all know and kind of putting it in a different setting.
Yeah, you certainly did that here. Let me give this a spin.
The factory's closed. Arms are subdivided. Children are born into a world that is misguided. A growing man in a modern age must learn to understand he cannot be afraid. A footstep sign on a main street now that's quiet. Innocent and mother, sunshine in a riot. From the south to where the Yankees run, there's a rage that is felt by everyone. How will we be? Be a modern man. What will we see? Yeah. Will we understand? A crowded room, one flashing screen, a reflects a light that few have ever seen. They left their families, they left their land, only to find themselves a hired hand. A makeshift classroom, a teacher's side. How can they tell the truth from the lies? Without an education and the will to try, they will find this world will surely pass them by. How will we be a modern man? How will we see, oh yeah, see the modern man? How will we be a modern man?
What a group. Love that. Right, love it, love it, love it. In all conceivable ways, that is just a wonderful tune. Great execution. Who's the horn player there, Marilyn?
That's Walt Fowler.
Yeah.
Walt Fowler.
Boy, so
yeah.
Good.
Hey,
so good.
You know, I've got to say that, you know, all these, so much of my music is always facilitated by Russell Ferranti and Jimmy Haslip. That's them playing on there. That's them helping me write it. I mean, you know, we've together have written so many things, and like No Room for Hate and all that, you know, that really has something to say, and I'm really proud of. And I thank you for playing, you know, some of this music today. It's really beautiful that you like it and that you're playing it for others to dig as well. So thank you.
Well, the pleasure is ours. I know I'm speaking for Greg here. We love it when there's a twist. I mean, one of the themes of the show is, you know, to celebrate and further the influence of the Great American Songbook. And you mentioned Willow a second ago, Willow Weep for Me,
right.
And putting a little bluesy spin on it, just finding an angle that you can work with that makes it interesting. And that's, you know, what I guess defines a standard, or what something that becomes a standard.
That's
is
right.
That it can be polished and manipulated and reformed to an extent without losing the essence of the song. And you will know, you will like this too. I'm sure you know that Anne Rennell, a woman composer, wrote Willow Weep for Me, and had a very prolific career and contributed in a prominent way to the Great American Songbook. But with your permission, Marilyn, I'm going to play our listeners out at the very end of the show with Willow Weep for Me, your version
All
of
right.
it, which I think is just dynamite.
Thank you.
Shifting gears for just a second, I know you, in your travels over the years, you've had occasion to work with young artists. I know you even did a children's record a while back. But when you do work with young artists, particularly women, I wonder if there's any specific advice that you tend to share with them or nudge them towards, because I know it's important to you know, make good decisions if you want to end up with a career in your industry. Is there anything that is common in your coaching, may I ask?
You know, I always got some good advice along the way from several singers that I've loved and appreciated. And usually it was just, you know, work hard. Work hard for the craft. Work hard for the style and for what it moves you. If you do that, there's no way that you can't do well. I think if you're going to start doing things that you think are going to please other people, and that kind of goes with everything, that you're just not going to get as much out of it. And I don't think in a performance sense, it'll be as authentic, you know. But when you really believe in something, a song or maybe something that you've written, you know, I think that you can just, it is the most magical thing that there is, and that's what keeps me in it, in the business, and it keeps me trying, you know. And I just, I want to do that. And I think as long as, you know, that you feel passionate, then it'll transfer over to the people that are sitting in front of you, and that's the best advice I could give anyone. You know, because you never know what
anybody's
really
gotta
thinking
be,
or.
But, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm sure that's spot on, Greg. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know, I found it enjoyable just to listen to you guys go back and forth. But I did want to say to Marilyn, it was we both appreciate you doing this, but also some of the things that you mentioned before, such as Brazil, totally wonderful. I had the honor of playing with Freddie Cole in Brazil, but some of the names you mentioned. Like Gary Novak, I had the pleasure of playing with his dad, Larry.
Yeah.
I guess I'm older than you, but so just to comment on that. But also, you know, we get a chance to work with different singers, and what's great about this and your music is you walk up to different singers or different just musicians, period. And say, hey, have you heard this by Marilyn Scott? It needs to be more of that.
Yes.
And maybe they have it, maybe they haven't. But if they have it, you know, you point to that in that direction and say, check this out. And with the familiar names, it's easy to check out. And then the music is great. So I just wanted to say, I don't say much because of interruptions, but I certainly enjoyed enjoy your music and what we've heard, and appreciate you doing this. So I will pass the word in Chicago, definitely.
I think what you're saying is great, and there's a lot of singers that don't get the accolades like they should, or I just don't hear them being played, or, you know, I don't hear anybody talking about Marlena Shaw or Esther Phillips, and there's just a lot of
Marlena
people that were great, and I'd love to hear them on the radio. I'd love to hear them played. I play them, but I'm just saying, you know, I guess that's what I miss is the radio, in a sense, because it educated me so much and played everybody. And they played, like, Fleetwood Mac, and then would play, you know, George Duke, and then they would play, you know, Aretha, and then they play, you know, the Beatles. So
I
liked all that. Then,
that's right.
You know, and
yes,
there were no holes.
Yes. Now, you developed a rounded ear, didn't you, Marilyn? We had on, I don't know, a couple months ago at this point, Nina Freelon, one of your colleagues.
Yeah.
And she has, you know, she's seen a lot. She's seen it go from vinyl to digital to streaming, and all these ways that music is now conveyed, so to speak. And she warned about the ease of all of that, and she felt like you know, services like Pandora, for instance, not to pick on them, but while convenient, while, you know, you give them some broad parameters, they're going to feed you, you know, what they think you're looking for on the basis of an algorithm, and you do not get the rounded scope of available music when that's the case. Would you agree?
I would agree, and it they do that, you know, like, say, for instance, on Facebook, and that they're giving you things they think you want to see. And, you know, I just want to go, why am I seeing that? You think you know me, but you don't know me.
You don't really know
and
me.
I think it really.
It's kind of offensive if you think about it. I'm not that easy to figure out. Believe me, I'm not. Sometimes
I'm not.
I go back and look at my look at my browser history and see if I'd said or did anything, went anywhere that would have given them that idea. But it's intrusive. It's intrusive, I believe, and until we all stand up and say or do something, because I think what happens. Not to get too heavy here, but, you know, people, jazz, let's face it, is a little more complicated to the common ear. It takes a little work sometimes to hear the melody and some of these difficult, complicated time signatures. And you think of a guy like Coltrane. Coltrane, for instance. I mean, I put myself in this category. I can't find it sometimes. I appreciate it, but you know, maybe it's over my head, but it doesn't mean I don't like jazz. And you know, Nina's contention was that you know, jazz is everywhere, and she made it a practice to suggest artists like you just did too that they should give a listen to, because, you know, while you know, you may not think you're listening to jazz, it is, and there's a thread of jazz and lots and lots and lots of music. So what you say you don't like, you probably are already liking, you know. So you know, let's not get too hung up on the labels, right? Because that just paints
that's
us
right.
into a corner. It surely does. Well,
yep.
Marilyn, an absolute delight. Tell us what you're up to. What are your projects? What's in the cooker right now for you?
You know, I'm trying to. I've always am writing, so we'll see. We'll see what pans out. I'm still working on the landscape and doing some performances and you know, that kind of thing for the project. And you know, when that calms down, probably I'll get myself back into thinking about what to do next. And yeah, I love to work with Vince Mendoza and do something that way, in that direction, but we'll see, you know. We'll see what I can,
well,
I can drum up. I'll let you know.
Well, you do that. I want you to consider these airwaves your airwaves, too, as we promote your good works. And I want tell people how they can get to your recorded material, please.
Sure. It's MarilynScott.com. And you can get it from there. You can also get it on Apple Music.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And you've got a wonderful Christmas album, too, which I heartily recommend. Make a great stocking stuffer if people are inclined. And then there's, I think, a dozen or more other albums where you're either the front person or side person for other projects. Bobby Caldwell and others among them.
Yeah.
And so they should explore like I did, and they will find a great trove of wonderful stuff. And as I say, Marilyn, whatever we can do to help move the needle in your direction, we will do it. And I just want to thank you for your wise comments here. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. And you know, it's wonderful to know that I have friends like both of you that are, you know, got my back, and the music of the people that play with me, because I don't do this alone. I do this with really great folks that believe in it as much as I do. And, you know, these days are kind of slim with the money and with opportunities to play live. So, you know, we just keep moving to the next project, you know, because that's what music does. It just keeps you going.
Yep.
And so I just appreciate that, and all the people that played on my projects, you know, they appreciate it. So thanks, guys.
We got your back, new friend.
Yeah, yeah, and so you'll know, there's probably 10-15 singers that are listening to this right now, and list that I sent your CD to, or let them hear some examples, who will buy that. And I don't believe in gifts. You got to go, you got to pay the cover charge. There's no guest list. Pay the cover charge. So,
damn right.
That are
damn
listening
right
to your music and maybe hadn't heard of you before, or maybe they had, but I get to the ones, there's some really great singers that nobody knows around here. And so they're definitely listening. And so you've got some friends and some fans here for life here. So you just,
well,
know that.
Hey, thank you, new friends. And we're all in this together. So let's just keep
indeed
making music that's real, and music that inspires, and music that soothes our soul. And that's jazz music. So here you have it.
Keep swinging, Marilyn. A great and safe holiday to you and yours.
Right on.
And,
okay,
let's do this again soon. There's so much more we could get into, and I will reach out to you here in the new year.
All right. Have a blessed holiday.
You too.
Same to you, friend. Bye bye. Now there she goes, Greg. What a great spirit of the It Factor, smart as a whip, and boy, just
nice person, very nice person.
Nice, you know, just absolutely a joy to talk with, and you know, she really gets it on many levels. Picks good tunes, writes good tunes, and can execute them. And boy, you hear the instrumentation on her records, and you can just tell she's got these monster players around her, these L.A. cats that are just, you know, everybody knows. So that's unique about her game, and that she's survived since, you know, she's been doing this for almost 44 years at a high level, which, you know, who can say that, you know? So, listen, we were in the company of greatness, and great joy. So we'll have her back soon. I know our listeners will like hearing that. Greg, a quick little break here. Let's catch our breath, and when we come back, we're gonna do our jazz flashback. We're gonna take some listener questions and comments, and we'll play that song that we referred to of Marilyn's at the very end. So stay listening.
Now, a quick word from our sponsors. Stay tuned. If you dig what you're hearing, friends, why not pick up some Jazzmill and Soul Message Band merchandise? High-quality mugs and tees that are certain to make you the hippest cat around. Just take out your phone, ease on over to thejazzmill.net, click on the Swag tab, and get your order down. It's quick, it's simple, it's safe, and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
Portion of sales help jazz musicians against cancer, the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, and the ASPCA.
Welcome back for more great music and lively discussion on the Jazz Mill with your host, Scott Henderson.
Yes, indeed. It's time again, friends, for the Jazz Flashback with our co-host, Greg Rockingham. Greg, anything happen in our past that would be of interest to our listeners?
Yes, I have something, a few things that are very interesting right now. Real quick, I also just want to keep mentioning this guy because we kind of keep in communication, but such a nice guy and that deserves to be doing more and deserves to be in Chicago. Elijah Rock. So I got to keep saying his name too.
True.
So he's a great guy too. But anyway, back to this.
Thank you.
December 1st in 1951, bassist and composer Jaco Pastorius was born in Norristown, Pennsylvania. So that's a great day today, and too bad that he's another one that left way too early.
Died also, early, I know he did.
Yes, December 1st in 1933, Jimmy Lyons, saxophonist Jimmy Lyons, was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. And a lot of people don't know this, but this is not a birthday, but Johnny Griffin was Chris Foreman's cousin, the great Johnny Griffin, and Chris Foreman, the organ player in Soul Message. They were cousins, but they are cousins or were cousins. But in 1978, on December 1st, Johnny Griffin recorded Five Birds and a Monk with pianist Stanley Kyle. And if you haven't heard that, Scott, you should check that one out. That's a good one.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Also,
that's a good lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and December 1st in 1981, and you're talking about great players, Jaco Pastorius, they recorded the birthday concert on December 1st, which was produced by great Peter Erskine, who went to Interlochen Arts Academy as well. And just great players on that record. But that was recorded in, I think it was recorded in Florida, but it's a live recording, and it was done on December 1st, 1981. So there you have it.
Yep, that's awesome. Always interesting to hear, you know, what happened years ago. You know, it's on the shoulders of these artists that we all stand, and thank goodness they went before and created a framework for us to build upon. Thank you again for sharing that. Greg, I got to tell you, I'm heartened to see as I look at the, not to bore our listeners, but as we get into our mailbag, we're just bursting with questions here. And it's because we are being heard. And this is the amazing thing about, a webcast or a podcast or internet radio. You are on a worldwide scale. And so we're heard presently, and this goes up every day. It seems like we're obviously heard in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, but Colombia, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, Serbia, Turkey, Liberia, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, India, China, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand is how far we are reaching, Greg. And it just tickles the crap out of me that there's a guy in Liberia that's tapping his toe to you and me. That's a funny notion.
Well, that's covering you, sure. That's
oh, hell no.
Yeah, that's covering
no,
you, though.
Takes a village, my friend. It takes a village. I will not accept that at all. I'm just trying to stay out of the way and not stutter too much. But, yeah, we have a few questions here. I think there's a couple of them in here that are kind of tongue-in-cheek. But here's one that I'm going to ask you to answer if you don't mind, because I think it's kind of a funny story, an interesting story. Muriel from Chamonix, France. It's the beautiful part of France, as I understand it, asks how you and I came to know each other. Do you want to tell that little story?
That's a good one. We met at a dog park, a local dog park.
So sorry.
Let me say this. So sorry that Hank is no longer with us.
Yeah, God bless Hank.
You're lovely.
This one goes out to Hank.
Yep,
you're good. Yeah,
yeah, but
a good
we
boy,
met at
sure.
at a dog park. Yeah, we met at a dog park, and you know, and it's something about Scott and his wife and my wife and I remember that Scott's wife didn't say too much and my wife didn't say too much, and we thought it was just hello and goodbye, but for some reason. I got to know that you enjoyed jazz just in those few minutes, and then we parted, and then I had a CD of our band, and I remember jumping in
the
car and speeding down to the corner gas station and blowing the horn, and you pulled over to the side, and that's how we met. Nothing exaggerated in that story at all.
The God's truth. Yeah. I said, this was just road rage, and then he comes out with a CD, and I said, oh, that's the fellow that I just met. I remember there was a pivotal moment in the conversation. As I think our listeners know, you're a part of a wonderful B3 combo, and I think I mentioned the Hammond B3 and how much I enjoyed it, and you said, I saw your eyes light up, and I was like, I remember you saying, well, since you said that, let me tell you this. And you went on to, you went on to reveal you know, kind of who you were, you know, and I was like, wow, this is serendipitous, and as they say, the rest is history. But so
that's
thankful
true.
For that chance meeting, and it just goes to show you, you know, talk to people, you know, mix it up a little bit. You never know what you might learn or how it might enrich your life. And I think of last year, Greg, and I just think of you as one of the great gifts for me. And you know, here we are, we're broadcasting in Serbia, for crying out loud.
that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. You're making
it
me
unbelievable.
Nervous. You're making me.
let me see here. Here's another one from Lenny in Miami. He wants to know if we'll be having Brent Fisher on again. He had the best stories, says Lenny. And I don't know if he was terrific. Brent Fisher, for our listeners, he is a conductor, composer, arranger, worked for years and years with Prince and Michael Jackson and everybody. And to his credit, he is a part of 30 million plus in album sales. He is listed as accredited contributor, and he and his dad, even there's a million Grammys between them, but he was just wonderful, and he had so many stories. We're going to have him on again, as we seem to be getting a lot of feedback from our audience, Greg, about that particular show. Because of the great stories, and I think we just scratched the surface. We could have talked for 4 hours, I suspect. So he'll be joining us again, likely in the second quarter of this coming year. We're already booking up for the first quarter, as it turns out. Here's one. It says here, Ina from Staten Island, she wants to know if I do any imitations besides Hank Stram. I do, but I'm not prepared to go live with it just this minute. But I do a pretty mean Sergeant Joe Friday from the old – remember the old series Dragnet, Greg?
I sure do. I sure. And
you do.
I'm talking to what did she's from Staten Island? Is that, what did you say?
Yeah,
her name was?
Ina.
Or
Ina from Ina.
Ina
from Staten
Ina.
Island.
So
yeah.
I'm talking to Ina right now. I'm just talking to Ina right now. He did that impression of Sergeant Friday or Joe Friday. So
yeah,
I promise.
I'm a little nervous.
He's ready. Next show, I'll make sure that he does that for you. I'm talking to you right now. He'll do that. He's just being a little modest right now. But next
sure
show, he'll do that.
Item.
So
all right.
Yeah.
I will
be sure
prepared.
To tune in,
and, sounds like a command performance. Well, you know,
he did it for me. He did it for me, and he's ready. Believe me, he's ready.
You shouldn't encourage me too much, because you know I'm just a big. What my wife always says, the most dangerous place in our house is between you and the microphone. She's got a point, I guess.
Let's
see. There one more here. AJ from Cleveland wants to know how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Now, I don't think that's a serious question, because I don't know that there is an answer to that one, unless you do, Greg. I think I'm just gonna throw that.
No,
I'm gonna throw that one.
It's on you,
girl. Well, Greg,
but
hey,
you
listen,
said it well,
man, talk
you said it well.
Yeah. I practiced for a half an hour. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Now, you, I know you're busy with the holidays, lots of gigging going on at the Green Mill. Tell us a little bit about where you'll be appearing this coming week, and take us through the action for December, if you can, Greg.
Okay. Friday we'll be at Studio 5 in Evanston, and we play a concert-type setting from 8, and we're two sets, so from 8 to 10. And then Saturday we play at a wonderful club in Berwyn called Fitzgerald's. So we play there from 6 to 8. And boy, do I love these early hours. And then, of course, every Sunday we're at the Green Mill from 8 to 12. So three sets from 8 to 12. And then the following week we'll be at Winter's Jazz Club on Wednesday the following week. And that following week, the club out here that you came to, 411 in Waukegan, and then, of course, Sunday.
Yep.
So pretty much like that through the holidays. And so you can also find us wherever we are on soulmessageband.com. And
yes.
You can find out where we are. So staying really busy, and things are good. Things are good right now. And
you should, listeners, Greg, should seek out the works of the Soul Message Band. They have several records out, and they are just everyone better than the last. And he and the guys are just, like I said, in the open. I do consider them the preeminent B3 combo east of the Mississippi, and maybe west of the Mississippi too. I just don't pretend to know those players and bands out there. But I can tell you I do have a sense for what's going on in my half of the country, and these guys are red hot, red hot. And Greg keeps the beat for them at these venues that he just mentioned. And you should check out their good work, the Soul Message Band. Greg, thanks to you, my man. I appreciate you so much for being on with us. And, of course, a big thanks to Marilyn Scott for her excellent appearance here. You want to be sure and check us out next time as we take a nice deep dive with an artist into their catalog, and we'll interview them on sort of their wiring and what makes them tick. And if you dig what you're hearing about us, I hope you'll tell your friends, please. I'm going to play you out with just one more of Marilyn's songs that she touched on when we were together with her. A tune called Willow Weep for Me. Greg, you guys covered this, I think, when you were with the Deep Blue Oregon Trio, didn't you?
We sure did. It's on the CD, Deep Blue Grooves with Chris Foreman and Bobby Broom. And we sure did record that.
I heartily recommend it. One of my favorite versions. And Marilyn does. And this again is what we love about these standards is everybody's got a little twist on them, and it makes them interesting for, you know, people that have, you know, heard the song 100 times or more. I mean, I know I have, and you found a way to make it fresh for me. And I think you'll have the same experience, Greg and others, as they listen to this. So thank you again, folks. Have a great and safe week until we speak again. Much love.
Crying.